Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. The past few weeks, we've done a little bit of a round robin with everyone picking a movie to bring to the table. This week, it's Aaron's turn.
Yep.
And you have chosen...
Forever Young with Mel Gibson and Elijah Wood.
And
who? What do you mean?
And? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Jeez.
Does she play Elijah Wood's mom? I can't even remember.
I guess so. She has the same, her character has the same last name.
Okay, then probably.
Something else that's kind of interesting is that this was written by J.J. Abrams.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
That is pretty interesting. But not directed, right?
No, Steve Miner. I don't know. He did, his notable work includes Friday the 13th Part 2, Part 3, Warlock.
Hollywood H2O.
Yeah. Lake Placid.
Oh.
Or Halloween H2O, rather.
Yeah. Lake Placid's kind of funny. It's got Betty White in it. Okay, anyway, not this movie. So I just remember like really liking this movie. And... this was kind of before, like, this was like Mel Gibson in his prime. This is 1992 Mel Gibson. He's like very young, very handsome.
Right before we knew what a raging racist and anti-Semite he was.
And he threatened to put his wife down in the rose garden, bury her under the rose bushes. Everyone knows he's a little different since 1992. I think we've already discussed that at length in other movies. Don't condone any of that behavior whatsoever. But I do like Elijah Wood a lot, and he's in this movie with him as like a child actor, so younger than in Flipper.
Which, speaking of Elijah Wood, please come on our podcast and watch Huck Finn with us. I've tweeted at you many times now.
Have you really?
Yes.
You really have?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
He was also, in 1992, he did a movie that I think eventually I'll put on the list, Radio Flyer. That was also a good movie of his. Richard Donner directed that
one. Who, Elijah Wood or Mel Gibson?
For Elijah Wood.
Yeah. Oh.
Pretty good movie. So what do you remember of this movie, Aaron?
So essentially, Mel Gibson, I don't know how or why any of this comes about, but he's a pilot from World War II that is frozen. Like, you know how they think Walt Disney was like frozen to wake up at like a later time? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they think he's, like, frozen, cryogenically frozen. Jay, why are you laughing?
But Aaron.
You know that. Like, Walt Disney. Like,
yeah, that's, like, a common rumor. I thought that's, like, just, like, a common knowledge rumor. People think, people, like, joke about how Walt Disney's, like, cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is exactly the same situation.
I don't know. Well, that's like obviously this is like the Hollywood version. Like everything works out perfectly and the technology's proper.
Right.
But I guess maybe they forget about him or something, and then like Elijah Wood finds, like, they just like store him in a thing, Indiana Jones style, and then Elijah Wood like finds him somehow, and like he doesn't have a dad, and this is like a war hero, cool guy that needs his help. So they're like hanging out, like, and he wants to find this woman he loved. I don't know. But then
the thing I remember the most about this movie is that apparently he ages quickly.
Yeah, at the end, he starts like aging very quickly.
And I remember,
like in Indiana Jones.
No. But I think he's like trying to find his girlfriend or something, or his fiance.
Sorry, the third one, not the first one.
Right.
Oh, okay. He tries to find his like fiance that he was like desperately in love with before he got frozen.
Right.
So.
I would also like to just extend another invitation, Elijah Wood. If you want to do Oliver Twist instead, I would be down with that as well.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe you don't want to talk about Huck Finn. Maybe there's like some memories there or some, I don't know. Doesn't hold up. I don't know. But
I heard on the internet that he plays Animal Crossing. So we can
and
talk
so
about
does
that.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. Anyway. So.
Elijah Wood, if you want, just whatever you want to watch, really. I mean, we're pretty.
But not open. This, because we're already doing this
right,
one.
Yeah,
it might
not
be
this
creepy
one.
To do your own movie, and then we'd have to talk about. Anyway.
Well, this sucked.
Yeah, be like, your performance was not good. Like, that would be like a little awkward.
But yep. We never will, Aaron, because he's great in everything.
Right. I'm just saying, it could be like, I wouldn't. Anyway, I don't know how actors do it. Like, do you watch your own movies? Is it creepy and weird to you? Like, I feel, I don't know.
The amount of times you've shown your PowerPoint to people, I think you would show your movie to people. I think you would watch it over and over again.
No, but probably.
It does look like this was a success. At the box office, $128 million. So I think, because like anything Mel Gibson was in around this time probably did very well. So
and Elijah Wood, I mean, everyone's like, oh, he's got that cute kid and Mel Gibson
and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah,
right.
Just reliable actors. At right now, not so much with the Mel Gibson thing, but at the time. So.
God.
Just saying.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I imagine Mel's not invited to the podcast.
I'd rather not.
We're making a list. We have never welcomes. We've got Mel Gibson. We've got
Tim Allen.
Not welcome. Anyway, you guys ready to watch this movie?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
This movie also has George Wendt in it from Cheers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And Walton Goggins.
I don't know them.
You do know Walton Goggins from The Hateful Eight. You'll
know
him.
There were like eight people in that movie. Which of the eight?
The Hateful One. Okay. All right. We are going to watch Forever Young, and we'll get back to you in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hi everyone, it's Jay here. My voice is a little less tired than last week, but probably still not great because back at work and talking to people all the time, you know, it's a great time. Listen, this week we have some exciting things coming up, some special guests coming soon, so stay tuned to hear more about that. If you have any voice feedback or any feedback at all, you want to share with us, you are more than welcome. Please email us, thevcrkids@gmail.com, or you can find us on social media at thevcrkids, anywhere. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those places. Hit us up on there. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll respond in no time. And as always, you can check out our website, thevcrkids.com, for merch, t-shirts, mugs, notebooks, phone cases, whatever you're into, check it out. And that's about all that I have. Unless, did you have anything, Jim, that you wanted to say? No? You're just going to keep staring at me? All right, Jim doesn't want to contribute at all. So I'll let you get back to the episode. Bye-bye. All right, we are finished watching Forever Young, the Mel Gibson and Elijah Wood and Jamie Lee Curtis and Walter Goggins vehicle. Yeah,
he was in there. Did you spy him, Richard?
Walter Goggins. You might have to refresh.
Or Walton Goggins, I think, actually.
Let's see.
He's that Southern actor that's in a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies, and he's got big teeth.
Oh, he was the guy at the gate, right? The yeah. The NP. Yeah.
Yep.
He was in one Quentin Tarantino movie.
Just one? I thought he was in like several.
No, he was only in Hateful Eight.
Really? I feel like he could have done a good job in Django.
You saw him in The Righteous Gemstones. He was in that also.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, enough about Walton Goggins, who's in the movie for 45 seconds.
We were just like, oh, look.
Oh, wow. This is a very interesting movie that starts out with very Rocketeerish vibes.
Oh, yeah.
I almost thought that this was going to be a direct ripoff of The Rocketeer based on the beginning of the movie, because it's like exact same opening almost, similar music.
Well, this might be my least favorite intro, whatever music.
The music was so annoying. I turned to Jay, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, because it would be quiet and then like blast of sound. Quiet, na-na-na. Blast. Yeah.
Na-na-na. Na-na-na. Yeah, it was like that.
But we see Mel Gibson testing a plane. And then there's just like so much exposition right in the beginning. Like so much exposition. And it's kind of a little bit hard to follow. For me, at least. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
That was fine. I'd forgot. I knew he was a pilot, though, but I'd forgotten he was a test pilot.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's just lucky he hasn't died already. I'm willing to do this crap.
Because
test pilot's a very dangerous job.
I was initially shocked with how good Mel Gibson looked. Good Lord, what a dreamboat back in the early 90s.
Oh, definitely. Too bad. It's like a beautiful apple on the outside. But yeah. When you cut it open, there's like a gross old worm in it.
Right. I thought I would start the main part of this recap with a positive thing about Mel Gibson. That's why I said that, Jay.
So. He's objectively handsome as a young man. Yes.
So he ends up, his partner or his best friend is a scientist who's just froze a chicken, working on cryogenic freezing, and they're having a baby, and Mel Gibson's like, oh man, that makes me want to propose to this girl, and he's too much of a chicken about it.
He just didn't think it was like the right time or something, because she was like, I'm running late, and then she like,
he thought it was the right time. He chickened out. He was like having a panic attack.
Well, oh, okay.
Renee mentioned this. She was like, why doesn't, you know, what's going on here? And I was like, I think the reason why he doesn't want to ask her to marry him is because he is a test pilot, right? Like he has a very dangerous job and
yeah,
might die. And so he doesn't.
In any moment.
Right.
I just kind of read it in that like he's super brave in some situations and like super not brave in other situations.
Yeah, he doesn't like kids either. It sets up that because like that one kid was just staring him down at the picnic. She's like,
he likes you. As he just glowered at him without changing his facial expression.
Yeah, so it sets up he doesn't like kids all that much. Yeah, I don't know.
And then he misses the opportunity to propose. And his girlfriend steps outside and dies.
Well, she gets struck by a car.
Yeah. And like goes into a coma, basically.
Yeah. And he's like all upset because he was going to ask her to marry him. And then he like convinces his friend to be like the test subject for freezing. And he says, if she wakes up, you have to wake me up. Like freeze me for a year. But if she wakes up from her coma, you have to wake me up. But he doesn't. And I guess that's kind of explained why later on down the line.
So. During this part, Renee really loved this, the whole romance between those two. Like she was just smiling the whole time. So I can see where some people might like this intro part because it was good. The whole movie is cheesy.
Oh yeah. It's cheesy as heck.
But as far as cheesiness goes, it's pretty easy to swallow. Like it's It's fine.
It's a very palatable movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I this might just be because my dislike for Mel Gibson tainted the entire movie. Like, you guys were talking about how great he was in the beginning, and I was just like, oh God, I hated him so much. I just didn't like the beginning part as much. I don't know. I felt like this movie had so many, it felt very familiar, and we'll get into this more later, I guess, but it felt like it was taking things from other movies, but like not diving deep enough into any of those things to really make me be like, yeah, this is great. I want to watch it again.
Right.
Well, to your point about Mel Gibson, I was like, watching his character, and I was like noticing a few things he did, like he had trouble expressing emotions and like opening up and talking to people. I was like, what toxic masculinity? But I think it's just because like back in the day, people might have been like, oh, he's like a wounded bird, like, oh, so, you know, vulnerable, and like we just need to fix him. But like these days I'm like, nope, don't like that.
Like, why is that toxic masculinity?
I can't remember. There was like a few specific things he did where he just like, oh, when he told the kid to like repress his emotions, and he like refused to show the child like that he actually like enjoyed his company. Like when he was like cutting the apples, like he turned away before smiling. Like he wouldn't show the kid that he like appreciated him, and like a few other things like that. But then I was like, well, he is from like the 30s, so it kind of fits. Like, no one was thinking, you know, like, well, you have to be a big, strong man.
I think he did beat up that guy who was beating up on Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't know if it's completely toxic masculinity.
No. He has like strong morals, but he has a very hard time expressing his emotions or finding it appropriate to express them, even in front of a child. So I think that's like men can't show their emotions. Like, I think that causes like a hornet's nest of issues, in my opinion.
I don't know. I feel like this whole movie was about him showing his emotions.
Yeah, he had to in the end. He did.
Like, I don't think that they were positing in any way that it was a good thing that he wasn't showing his emotions. Because that's why he let his girlfriend walk out the door and get hit by a truck before he got engaged.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, my mind immediately jumped to that. And I think it's because it's Mel Gibson. Do you know what I'm saying?
Not really, but that's fine.
Because he is a whole hornet's nest of toxic masculinity. He's like the hornet's nest come to fruition, and you find it's like taken over half your attic.
Okay. So he goes to sleep, and then we don't know what happens, and...
Richard.
I don't know. Since we're recording this, I kind of would just want to naturally respond, but I won't. We'll just keep this train going.
Let that image sink in.
What image? What are you talking about? Why do you just keep in the talking? Attic. Oh God. Oh man, I can. I forgot that I can mute you.
Oh wow.
I didn't. Don't worry. You can still talk.
Yeah, I could easily unmute myself because I'm the host.
When did this movie come out?
This came out
91.
In 92.
Oh, right. We did talk about this because it came out the year after The Rocketeer.
Sorry, I got confused. 91 was The Rocketeer.
They talk a lot because he was frozen in like 33, I think they said, right?
I thought 39.
39.
Oh, was it 39?
Yeah, okay. It's right before World War II. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Because they keep saying that he was frozen for 50 years, and I thought it was 60, but I must have just heard that date wrong the first time. So anyway, he's frozen for like 50 some years, and then Elijah Wood and is it his brother or his friend? I can't tell.
His friend. They're just like.
But they're like always. they're always hanging out with each other all the time.
Because he probably lives in like the house next door. I think that's how it's set up.
Mm-hmm. I must have just not had friends then. All right. They end up at this military base and start dicking around with things they shouldn't be playing with. And then they wake up Mel Gibson, and it was a weird scene.
Yeah, well, they screamed like there's a dead guy in here. It reminded me of like E.T., like when E.T. was in like the pod and like the people had taken over the house and they like unzipped him from the bag. So people just, I guess, thought about plastic bags with white zippers seems scientific.
Well, this is two movies in a row, because the last movie, Doc Hollywood, we saw pubic hair. This one, we saw some sweet cheeks from Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Not quite as egregious.
No.
Yeah, see, it's not a problem if it's a guy's butt.
Well, I think I just went, oh, my God, because it was, like, so hairy. Like, he has hair on, like, every inch of his body, and it was, like, highlighted definitely by the lighting. It was just hairy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was just because he was from the 30s and like we hadn't evolved to have less hair at that point yet, right?
I don't know. As he's humans. A hairy person. That's fine if you are, but it was just shocking because I think the lighting caught it and it was like really evident.
He goes through this weird zombie rising. He ends up wearing ridiculous clothes that I don't know where he got them from.
He stole them off a clothesline, and you said we don't use those clips anymore.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, and then Aaron was like, yeah, poor people hang their clothes outside. And I was like, we hung all our clothes outside when we were kids.
Aaron.
Well, just like if you can't afford a clothes dryer, then you definitely have to hang them.
You don't
outside.
Dry half of your clothes.
Yeah, I know. But I don't have like a built-in clothesline anywhere, I guess. I would like one, actually. It would be nice.
Well, to mention, you know, we all lived in South Korea. I pretty much only had one of those like drying rack things with the arms, right?
Yeah,
yeah, there was no clothes. There were like no clothes dryers in South Korea. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing unless you're rich.
But it's not a thing. But my clothes rack was very, very, it had been passed down from many people, I think. And it just like, if you breathed on it wrong, it would just collapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not super effective. Yeah. So Mel, so then he, I guess he, that's, this is when he finds his way back onto the base, right?
Well, this is like the Encino Man section where he's acting zombie-ish or like just weird.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, out of time, doesn't know what's going on, you know, 7 digits instead of 5 for phone numbers now, that whole thing.
Yeah. How many of these movies have we seen now? It's been Encino Man. There was a couple others that I thought of.
I don't know. I think this is the only, this one and Encino Man.
Back to the Future.
Well, or, okay.
We're Back. I mean, not Back to the Future.
Well, those are dinosaurs.
Yeah, but it was still the thing of like coming into the future. And like, I got to say, this was the most boring version of that experience because he didn't seem fazed by anything.
I mean, he is a test pilot, so that probably requires some level of just like functioning through uncomfortable scenarios.
Well, I have an issue because you look online, they consider this a time travel movie. I object to that.
Yeah, it's not. Right.
This is a hibernation movie.
Yeah, yeah, he just got frozen. He didn't time travel. We didn't go back and forth.
But he like walks out like in this town that he lived in for so long. He like walks out. He sees cars. Like think about a car in 1930 and a car in 1990. Oh, like, yeah. He sees like all these like buildings and billboards and everything, and he's just like completely unfazed by anything.
You know what? You know what we didn't think about just now? Like, oh, I don't know, time travel movie. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, where they go back and forth to Japan the whole time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was a little bit of the honor guard learning in the new things, right? Even that movie did it better than this one. Yeah, I don't know. It just, that's kind of another point of what I was talking about of like, it just doesn't seem like they delved into anything. Like there was so many like things happening in this movie, like so many plot points that just didn't seem explored at all.
Well, in defense of that for a moment, like he knew he was going to wake up in the future. So there's
sure.
So it's like he's not going to be like shocked at all. He's just going to be like, well, now I know I'm in the future. And so you don't have that shock, you know.
Right. Moment. It wasn't a surprise.
Well, he thought he was going to be sleeping for 1 year.
Right. Right.
I mean, even later when he's like playing with the CD, he's just like looking at it kind of nonchalantly, and then she takes it and puts it on, and he's just like, that's fine. Like
same with like the TV. He was like staring at it big, and the kid's like, that's a TV, and he's like, I know, I saw it in the World's Fair, and he's just like staring at the Thighmaster like
meh. Yeah, that Thighmaster dated this movie pretty severely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and no one has the internet there. Like, they go to look stuff up, and they go to the library, and it's like the news roller thing.
Yeah, because there really wasn't any internet.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah, I had that thought, because he has to go to that woman, and she has to, you know, it takes days to look up the guy. I was like, you know, now you just go on Facebook or something. Like,
yeah, you could, like, and if you pay, like, $10, you can find, like, anyone.
Yeah.
You really can. What? Yeah, there are all these like search. Yeah. If you just like put someone's name in Google or a phone number in Google, it's like, this is the basic info. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a person that exists. It's all these companies that do this. And then, but you can't see it unless you pay like $10, you'll get this much information. $20, you'll get that much information. There are several companies that do this.
Yeah, and all of them look sketchy.
They're sketchy as heck because they mine your data from like other places. And anyway, but I mean, I'm just saying it's like possible you should pay like $10.
Right.
That's the world we live in, folks.
Where were we? What?
So he finds his way back to Elijah Wood and his friend. I'm going to call him his friend. I've seen that kid in some other movies, by the way. I feel like he was the friend.
He looks really familiar.
Yeah, he's like the friend in every 90s movie. I don't know.
Elijah Wood in this movie looks exactly the same as Elijah Wood now, but 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
It was, okay, I will say something very good about this. Y'all might disagree. I thought he did a fantastic job, and it might just because we see so much bad child acting. But I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He was great.
Super good.
So if you want to come on the podcast, we'll speak very nicely of you, Elijah.
Come on, Elijah Wood, please.
I don't think I could do it. I think I'd be okay. Like, I don't know if anyone knows this, but like, I love Lord of the Rings. They're like my favorite movies. And like, I don't like, if Gigi Hadid came in the house, I'd be like, okay, like, I don't really care that much. But if it's someone that's in something that I love very,
it's Gigi Hadid, what are you talking about?
She's so famous right now. Okay. She's like a starlet, like model anyway. But, like, if it's someone that does something that I really enjoy, like, that's when I would, like, be nervous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, literally everyone else in the world.
A lot of people just get weird around, like, famous people in general. But, like, I know I'd be weird because I like love those movies and like appreciate him so much. Like I haven't researched his, like, I don't know anything about like his personal life or anything. I just really appreciate his work in that. So I would have a hard time. I'd be nervous.
So we're introduced to Jamie Lee Curtis, who is, I don't know, struggles with romance. Can we say that?
Yeah, she's
she dates a lot of bad guys.
Yeah. Except the doctor seems nice, but she's kind of like cheating on him a little bit for Mel Gibson.
Real quick, we have seen that kid before.
What?
He was in Rookie of the Year.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And Leprechaun, which I'm sure will end up on one of the Halloween lists.
Oh, yeah, that should be. Did you know Jennifer?
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
So there's that whole thing, and then he lives up in the treehouse, but then one night, is it one of her previous boyfriends, ex-boyfriend? Is that who he is? Anyways.
I just assumed at first that it was like the Elijah Wood's dad. But then like they talk about how they haven't heard from him since he was like one or something. So I guess not. I guess it's just a previous boyfriend.
Right. So he comes in and he does the old boxing routine and the guy scatters. She lets him sleep there for the night. So that was a very odd moment because Elijah Wood's like, oh no, she won't have a problem with you sleeping here over the night. It's like, is that saying like she's a loose woman? Like what is her son saying?
I think that she is caring, like, and would take him into the house to like help him.
I don't think that's what Elijah Wood was saying. I think she was saying she has lots of guys spend the night.
Oh.
Yeah. There's also, we didn't mention this. There's also this weird Elijah Wood liking this girl, which goes nowhere.
Yeah, that shouldn't have been in the movie. I think it was just in the movie because,
again, so many plot points that are not finished. Like,
yeah, not,
like it got up to like almost a climax of it at one point where he ends up where Mel Gibson convinces him to like tell her how he feels, and then it goes to her window, and then it just, you never hear from her again.
Yeah, I think like they were trying to use it as like a parallels for like him to reflect on his own relationship and like make him realize that, I don't know, because in the end he's like, oh, you got to tell her right now. But like they either should have like seen it through to the end and like maybe showed her like, I don't know.
Even if it was just like in the very last scene of the movie. I mean, obviously this couldn't work because they're in a different location, but like, yeah, if you had something like right at the end where she was just like winked at him or like whatever, like, you know what, yeah, I mean? Like if it came back at the end, like that would have been enough to tie it up for me, but it was.
Yeah. Or just like not like Elijah Wood could be like just talking to him. Like they could be having a heartfelt conversation that makes him reflect on his life. Like, it doesn't need to be that he also likes a girl. Like, and then you just cut it out entirely, and then maybe you focus on building their relationship a little more. Because, like, I remembered them interacting, like, a whole lot more than they actually did in this movie. Like, I feel like him and, like, Daniel and the mom, Jamie Lee Curtis, interacted a whole lot more than Daniel and Elijah Wood's character. And then I feel like that was a little problematic because she's like dating a doctor and like he, you know what I mean? It was just, I don't know. That's just how I think.
So right near the end of the movie, we find out all of this information that, Mel Gibson's friend died trying to save him in a fire or something.
I thought they said, so like there was something wrong with the capsule, right?
Yeah.
And then
he was trying to like wake him up and save him, and then there was a fire and he died. I thought
he died of cancer.
I don't think so.
You're talking about the buddy from, was it Cheers? Like his friend?
he died of cancer.
I think he was trying to rescue him, and he died in a fire. That's how I remember.
I thought they said like he died. Because that's what they said. No, I thought they said he died while trying to save his friend. Like he realized he couldn't open the capsule because Daniel would age rapidly. So he was like trying to figure out a way to fix the capsule and thereby like prevent Daniel from dying once it was opened.
I mean, yes, but they definitely said he died in a fire.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the plot right now, the summary, and it's, yeah, he tried to save McCormick from the fire.
Oh, cancer made so much more sense.
I don't think either one really matters, right?
No, it's just he died. He couldn't wake him up and he died. And then the tube he was in got lost in some warehouse somewhere.
They said it was a water heater.
The tube. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
The cryogenic tube. Capsule. I don't know what else I don't know.
The submarine.
What
you
is
know?
That thing?
I don't know.
Ray's periscope.
It did look really stupid, to be honest. Like it just had like a bunch. Okay, anyway.
And then we also find out that the problem that they were having with the chickens was that they got old really fast. And then all of a sudden, Mel Gibson starts aging every single scene you see him in. He's a little bit older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes like when it happens.
It's like this didn't affect him at all for days, for like a week or two. And then all of a sudden, it's like every 5 seconds, he's like 10 years older.
Well, see, I texted this to y'all. It makes sense for maybe, I don't know, his hair to go gray and his skin to get like kind of baggy. But why does he have a diaper butt by the end of this movie? How is that part of the aging process?
Why do they change his clothes size every time? So it's just like draping over him by the end. It's not like he's like eating or like... Right. It was a mess.
Well, I'll tell you that... Okay, I'll mention two things. Number one, real quick. So when they're up in the treehouse and they have that emotional moment between Mel Gibson and Elijah Wood, right? They're acting like, you know, they're flying and something happens. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of music, of course, and the cutting, right? And the camera moves. But them filming that, there's no music or anything. That had to have been insanely awkward to film. Like, because it had just been quiet in that on the set. So that was weird.
I think that was definitely the cutest scene of the movie, though. Like, I feel like it was the most. That was the one where I was smiling the whole time, I think.
Yeah, that was that hit a nice little emotional punch there. But I can't wait for Aaron, because this is like, okay, this is a movie kind of situation. But Elijah Wood landing that plane after that one lesson he gave in the treehouse.
I did think about that, and
she told me,
I was like, so he's gonna remember how to land the plane from this.
a 10 year old child. Yes.
Yeah, no, especially like, so like I've heard, I don't know if this is true or like just a movie thing, but it seems like if you're on, like sometimes like a person who's inexperienced has to land the plane, but they're like in communication with like tower people who are running them through exactly what to do.
Yeah. Whereas Mel Gibson was just
like keening over to the side, like that.
He'd already told him exactly what to do in the treehouse. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And he's like, watch your horizon. And then he starts like looking out the window like he's in a car, like, watch the horizon. It's like, no, no, no.
And the editing of that is so ridiculous, because it's like, it looks like they're just going to just crash, right? Just go over the cliff and just die. And then...
Or rail, like knock the house over the cliff. Right.
And then there's the shot of it just slowly gliding right in front. And you're like, oh my word. Oh.
There was also something else that was very like movie... that took you out of it quite a bit. And this, like, obviously would be a little bit different, I think, if you're watching it at the time. But we know what old Mel Gibson looks like now. And so, like, there were points like early on in his aging process where it was like, that actually does kind of look like aging Mel Gibson. That is kind of what he looked like in like the 2000s or like whatever.
The problem
is that me and Aaron were discussing is that there's not enough hate in his face.
No, it's just so like nowadays I had to like look at both. I had to look at an image of current Mel Gibson and then I had to look at the old age makeup to really figure out what was wrong with it. So like he has a lot of deep set lines in his face, like from his nose right, to
from
his
all
mouth.
The hate.
And like his forehead wrinkles and like he just has deep set lines because you get those as you age and he doesn't strike me as a man who avoided the tanning bed. He has all these deep set lines. So like the age makeup that they did on him, they did not add any deep set lines. They just kind of added like very light wrinkles around his eyes and like. And then they age spotted him.
Triple XL clothes.
Yeah, they kind of like pushed his hairline back. They age spotted him. They gave him very light wrinkles and they put like gray makeup in his eyebrows. And that was it.
And a big issue is he aged very quickly. Like he just, it went from 0 to 60. So I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, that doesn't look bad. Oh. And then you get to a point where you're just like, that looks awful. That's Mel Gibson in makeup.
Yeah, it was kind of like it rolled into the uncanny valley at a certain point and you're like, that should look like an old person, but like I know that's like not really an old person.
Here's another thing that they didn't have when this movie came out, man. Is Johnny Knoxville playing a grandfather,
right?
And this gave me super hardcore Jackass vibes.
I think they did a better job. I think they did a far better job than what Mel Gibson looked like in that final scene. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what the standard was for, like, old age makeup back then. Like, what materials did you have? Like, I feel like you could have done something better. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, what's that director's name? Spike Jones was a better grandma than Mel Gibson was a grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, the movie ends. He finds his girlfriend who didn't die. It was this really funny line where it was like they didn't actually say it, but like they were like, oh, she lives over here and she was married, but her husband died 4 years ago. And you just saw this light in Mel Gibson's eyes go off like, oh, she's single.
So you're saying there's a chance.
And then the movie ends with them at the lighthouse.
Yeah. Surrounded by seagulls. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And they give the notebooks. Oh, I wanted to talk about this. So there's like this one scientist that once the military does figure out that he exists and they need to talk to him because like a cryogenic scientist, was it the FBI? He's like, I've got to get this information. Like, he knew who.
Because we
got to
go to space.
Well, yeah. He, like, knew who his friend was. And so he was, like, trying to track down. And I was looking at that guy. It's like, where have I seen you before? Where have I seen you before? And it struck me as we were recording. I was like, that's the Skynet guy in T2. He needs to stay away from this.
That's right.
Stay away from it.
This is a prequel. Yes. Or I guess it's tucked right in between. Anyways, yeah. I instantly recognized him for that movie. I don't know what else he's been in, but like, yeah.
Yeah. Stay away. Skynet.
Yeah. And then so his storyline is resolved because they give him the old notebooks that the daughter of Mel Gibson's friend had.
Right. That's right. I, for whatever reason, I thought he died in the end of this movie.
The scientist?
No, or Mel Gibson.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah.
It was like a Raiders of the Lost Ark scene. It was like turns into a skeleton and then dissolves into dust.
Yikes.
Although I guess he kind of ended with what age he would have been. I guess that's the
right
assumption, right? But that also doesn't make sense because they're talking about this chicken that they froze a week ago going through a rapid aging process. So the chicken must have gotten older than a week, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
So Mel Gibson would have, he's dead. By the time the credits are over, Mel Gibson's dead. Like, you, it's got to be the case.
I don't know.
He's dust in the wind.
I don't know.
Oh, Yvay. Well, anything we missed, like plot wise, or any little things you guys wanted to comment on?
No, I got that out of my system.
Yeah. I think we covered it pretty well. Yeah.
There were pretty good performance. Jamie Lee Curtis was great in this movie. Yeah. She is.
Oh, yeah. We didn't say that.
She was pleasant. She was a great mom. And Elijah Wood, we already mentioned, was great. And
you know what? I think that honestly saved it, is like who they cast. They all did their role very believably. Like, they just acted it really well, because it could have been so cheesy and dumb, but they all did like such a good job making us believe in them that we like accepted the cheese. You know what I mean?
Right. What did y'all think of Jeffrey Abrams' screenplay?
I think I've already made my opinions on this pretty clear. Lots and lots of plot points that were not dug into.
Yeah, I think it was pretty short also, wasn't it? This movie?
Was 102 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty short. So they could have maybe, I don't know.
What was the... Oh, I was thinking of M. Night Shyamalan and Stuart Little. I was going to make it. Anyway. What? You don't remember how... this is like the same situation as M. Night Shyamalan wrote the script for Stuart Little.
Oh, okay. Okay, no.
Anyway. I think this is his... Oh, no. This isn't even his first movie he wrote.
Oh, wow.
Is it? He's not... I'm looking at his IMDb page. I don't... Oh, okay. Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, no. He wrote Regarding Harry and Taking Care of Business before this.
I don't know either of those.
He also wrote Gone Fishing.
Yeah. God. And Armageddon.
Wow. Well, that's probably the most successful of all this.
But he was one of like 10 writers on Armageddon.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, enough of J.J. Abrams' IMDb page. Do you guys think that this movie holds up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pleasant watch. Like, don't expect great things or for it to be like super introspective, but it's pleasant enough to watch.
Yeah, I would say the sweet spot for this is like if you watched it as a kid with your family and it's the holidays and this is, I guess, pre-COVID or post-COVID, non-COVID situation. It's a nice movie to put on because I feel like the whole family could watch it, could laugh. Like, it's pretty mild in every single way. So
I feel about this one similarly to how I felt about Doc Hollywood, in that it was like, I can definitely see if you watch this growing up that you would like to watch it again. I think I just don't have the nostalgia piece for it. So because I didn't watch it, but yeah, I mean, it's fine. It would be a great TV movie, or like you were saying, Richard, like a great one to have on kind of in the background where you don't need to pay 100% attention to it.
Right.
But I wouldn't recommend anyone like break down the door to your local Blockbuster and,
yeah,
it's like I need to see Forever Young.
It's like available, it's like fine, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, like
it's like a great like study movie. Yeah, if you're working on something.
I wouldn't even pay like the three, like we paid $3. I wouldn't even do that, you know. If it's like on TV, that's fine. If it's like on Netflix, that's fine, but like don't go out of your way.
Well, thank you so much for listening. You can let us know your thoughts on Forever Young. We didn't reference the song once at all, and neither did that movie.
Nope.
Oh, hey, here's my biggest issue with the movie. It's called Forever Young. He's 100% not forever young. He gets old real fast.
Within minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe young at heart. No.
Yeah. and he was gone for most of his young years. Right. Yeah. Anyway.
Wasted.
Let us know your thoughts on Twitter or wherever you find us at the VCR Kids. And we'll talk to you more next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.